Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Monday. We're live at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. We say hello, as we always do at this time, to John McClain, who joins us from down in Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Absolutely. You as well. Let's start with the big news in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL. He's out for the rest of the season, and the Chiefs are officially eliminated from the playoffs. The dynasty, I guess, is over.
Well, that's what they said when Tom Brady went down for the season in his ninth season with a torn ACL. They finished 11-5 with the immortal Matt Castle. Didn't make the playoffs, though. Then came back and won multiple Super Bowls. And he'll come back. Players always come back. You know, I see people, oh, my God, he may miss the start of the season. First of all, you can't even get surgery till the swelling goes down. Usually that might be 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. But in 2011, the greatest comeback from a torn ACL and a torn MCL was running back Adrian Peterson. On Christmas Eve in 2011, he ruptured both. And then he was there for the start of the season and rushed for over 2,000 yards. And I remember he rehabbed here because he lives here at a facility we have. There's different ones around town called Iron Man. And when he came back, you know, if he had the surgery midway through January, that'd be February, March, April, May, June, July. He came back in less than 8 months. So you never know the severity of the surgery, the rehab. You know, they have no clue. They always put the same out there. It could be 8 to 10, 10 to 12. Everybody's different. But he'll be back, and he'll be back stronger than ever. And if I were the Chiefs, I would play backups, and I would play the backups, lose, get a higher draft choice. You guys know I am about those high draft choices. And if you're the Chiefs and you've been picking low so often, you know, that would be a welcome respite toward trying to retool your roster.
Do you think that the holes that they need to fill, though, on that team, they can do that in one off season? Because I think they've been covering things up for a long time, and they've gotten away with it because you've had players like Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones. But now that Mahomes is hurt, Kelce's likely done. You know, Jones is obviously a little longer in the tooth. They're going to have to address some of these things, and I'm not sure they can do it all in one offseason.
Oh, I don't think anybody can do it all in offseason, but as long as you got Mahomes, he can cover up a lot of issues. You know, they lost four offensive tackles, and then yesterday they lost another one. So any team in the league, I don't care if it's the Broncos, the Rams, you start losing that many offensive linemen, it's going to be felt by the offense in general, the quarterback in particular. So, yes, I think they'll come back motivated like crazy. And the key is, of course, you've got to get the players. Andy Reid has final say on all personnel issues. Brett Veach is the GM who finds the talent. So they got to make good moves. They've been working on their wide receivers. Those guys, you know, Worthy and Rice have been inconsistent. They've not given them a consistent big play weapon who can stay healthy like they envisioned. But that's what happens when you pick low a lot. And I think the key is for them to use, and they've got big-time cap issues, and they're going to have to get rid of some. They're going to have to change the contracts and push cap hell into the future. And we all think Kelce's going to retire, but he had a better season this season than he did last season. Now, he's getting married, so unless he signs a prenup, money's not going to be an issue to him since he's marrying a billionaire. So he would not do it for money. He would do it for love of the game. Can't wait till he makes up his mind because he's going to make more money off the field. If we see his brother Jason in so many commercials, in so many shows, what are we going to see Travis in? Probably see them together. They are not going away.
You're right about that. John McClain's on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, let's talk about the team you'd see every Sunday in Houston. First of all, The D'Amico Ryans rumors to Alabama of Kalen DeBoer left. I mean, I love how people throw things out there. Yeah, he's an Alabama guy. What's the talk down there about that? It's not going to happen, but was there any talk this past week about D'Amico Ryans in Alabama?
Zero. When they hired Kalen DeBoer, they asked, D'Amico's name was out there, and D'Amico shot it down immediately. There's no way D'Amico Ryans is leaving the Texans in the NFL for Alabama. And Kalen DeBoer, of course, because he's not leaving either. But even if he did, D'Amico would not be going there.
Texans win yesterday over the Cardinals, who aren't very good. We know that, John. But they continue to win. They continue to mash teams. They're now 9-5. That schedule's in their favor. They got the Raiders coming to your town on Sunday. Then the Chargers will be a tough game. Then the last game versus the Colts. I mean, how well right now, John, are the Houston Texans playing football?
It's very interesting, Joe, because they've got the 6-game winning streak, and they went through a gauntlet of difficult teams to start the winning streak, and then now they've hit the Cardinals and the Raiders back-to-back, two of the worst teams in the league. Scored 40 points yesterday, second most, and D'Amico Ryans was not happy with the defense, giving up 20 points to Jacoby Brissett, first time they've given up more than 19 in at least 6 weeks. And, since Jacksonville to start the 6-game winning streak. And Stroud looked really good, 260-some yards, 3 touchdown passes, no turnovers, 1 sack. So the offense is doing better. The defense has not been an issue all season. It's interesting, I tweeted last week, they have only one offensive player started every game, and that's their rookie tackle, Ariante Ursary. But 6 of their veterans have, and they've just lost their 4th defensive tackle, but they were very wise to load up with defensive tackles. And those guys are playing pretty well. And they've lost 3 defensive backs, including 1 starter. But these guys are not their stars. You know, they haven't lost their stars for long. Stroud missed 3.5 games. That was the most one of their stars had missed. You know, they need another big game against the Raiders, who look like they've quit and tanked because they want Fernando Mendoza and probably have a new coach in place of Pete Carroll. But right now, I expect them to beat the Raiders badly and get ready for the Chargers game. They beat the Chargers here in the playoffs last season. They beat the Chargers here. Chargers and Justin Herbert. One of those seasons in which they were terrible before Ryan's got here. So the Chargers got to feel like they owe them. It's like, I think this time next week when you guys call me, Texans and Jaguars will be tied for first place because the Jags should lose at Denver. Although, if they keep playing like they did yesterday when Trevor Lawrence threw 5 touchdown passes and running back Etienne had 3, tied his career total for touchdown catches, but they're doing really well, and Liam Cohen has got to be a candidate for Coach of the Year, but I think this week they'll be tied, and then I think the Texans will lose to the Chargers, finish 11-6, and the Jaguars will not lose another game and finish 12-5 and win the division.
Oh, I love it how it's going to play out that way. John, this has nothing to do with football, but the video the Texans put out with Bob McNair and the high five with C.J. Stroud, I think that's one of the most well-done, put-together videos of the year. To see your owner make fun of himself that way, I just think it's really engaging and a great job by the Texans to put all that together.
People think Gal McNair is a straight arrow, because he's not a big talker like his dad. His dad could command a room. Cal's always used to being in the background, like the last day of training camp every year. When the fans are there, they bring in a couple barbecue pits, and he and 2 radio personalities cook cheeseburgers for fans. So Cal's out there in his apron and his top hat, cooking cheeseburgers. A lot of people give him a hard time about it, saying, you know, you would never see this guy or that guy. Well, he doesn't care what this guy and that guy are doing. And I don't know whose idea it was. Someone in their social media department it on social media when Stroud was walking back to the locker room in Kansas City, and it was cold as hell because they'd beaten him 20-10, and Cal's standing there all bundled up with his hand out, ready to high-five Stroud, and Stroud walks right by him. Now, the chances are he didn't recognize him because all you could see is his face,
right?
Because he's so bundled up. But his social media immediately erupts with Stroud's got a problem with Cal McNair. So that's how that video came out. If anybody wants to see what we're talking about, just Google Cal McNair video, because it shows him coming to work, going through all his businesses, holding his left hand up in the air, ready for a high five. Several people want to high five him, and somebody grabs him and goes, "No, no, no, that's for CJ." And Stroud didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
And when he finally, after he ate lunch one-handed and went down toward the locker room, and Stroud, a couple players came out, as you saw, Joe, Stroud looked at him, had a big laugh because he knew people were giving him a hard time.
Right.
Went up, high-fived him and hugged him. But you're right. I thought that was ingenious.
So well done.
John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, live at Circus Sports in Kentucky, continuing our conversation with John McClain down there in Houston. John, the Titans fall in San Francisco, but the young players are showing fight. They're showing there's something there. When you look at the scores, you know, again, it goes back to what we've talked about all season. It's not necessarily about the wins and losses. It's how are the young talent improving, and I am seeing some improvement. So that would have to give Titans fans a little bit of hope, right?
I would think that would give them hope, and they're going to – you'd think they've had a good off season. Everybody tells me Bagonzi knows what he's doing, and everybody respects him over there. People just need to stay out of his way. He's got to start by getting the right coach. As we've talked about before, I'm guessing it'll be an offensive coach and somebody who's had success calling plays, somebody who has been a play caller, of course, and has worked well with quarterbacks, whether that comes from Kansas City, since that's where he worked for so long, I don't know. Does he want a veteran head coach, or does he want to start over with another young guy like Brian Callahan? I'm guessing he's going to, and I have no clue, but just the situation, have somebody who has been a head coach, no matter how long it was. And keep an eye on, I don't know this, Matt Nagy, and it is Nagy, even though it's spelled Nagy. Matt Nagy from Kansas City, when he was at the Bears, he wasn't bad, and he had Mitchell Trubisky. And then the Bears fell on hard times. And I keep seeing his name out there on the list. And he's back at Kansas City. And so who knows what their relationship is. Could be Mike McCarthy. You know, I told you, I'd love to see him get Gruden just from the interest standpoint and the talk show standpoint. Don't think it'll be a college coach. And I just don't think it'll be a defensive coordinator either. When you have a young quarterback and you have a defensive coordinator as a head coach, if the quarterback grows and the offense does well, boom, he's out the door, and you got to start over with a new one.
Yeah, and another one, Robert Saleh, has been thrown out there too, who the Titans saw yesterday as defensive coordinator for San Francisco. And I'll ask you about him, because a lot of people have said, if you want to go back to the more Vrabel type, Saleh's the way to go. And we obviously saw a lot of success with Vrabel and, you know, his personality, but then you got to get the right coordinator to develop the quarterback.
Well, first of all, you should not pay any attention to anything having to do with Mike Vrabel. The worst thing you can do is hire somebody because he's like this guy or like that guy. You've got to hire the guy that your gut tells you to hire. I will never forget when the Green Bay Packers were looking for a head coach, and they had interviewed a bunch of guys, and nobody paid any attention to 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McCarthy. The GM was Ted Thompson, who played 13 years for the Oilers, and I knew Ted very well. And he hired McCarthy. And I said, man, you made everybody up there mad. I can't even remember who everybody else wanted, including the media and all the fans. And I'll never forget, Ted told me, he said, you know, I have to go with my gut. If I didn't, and I hired a guy others wanted, and it didn't work out, I'd be kicking myself forever because I didn't hire the guy I believed in. And then if the guy I hired fails, it's my fault. And I can look in the mirror and say, well, I did what I believed in, and it didn't work out. No regrets about taking somebody else. So if no matter who, they got to get the person they believed in. Hopefully it'll be somebody that Bagonzi and Brinker both like, and then they'll make the recommendation to Amy Adams Strunk, and she'll sign off on it. But you cannot think anything about Mike Vrabel. And it better be somebody who's coached a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. John McClain's on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, how big of a win was it yesterday for the Buffalo Bills?
I was shocked when they were down 21-0. And I thought, man, they're going to lose. They're going to be a wild card team. I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs, even if you hosted them. And then I started looking up again, and I saw the score, and then I saw it at the end, and I was flabbergasted. Best team in the AFC record-wise. You're on their field. Weather's cold as hell, and you're down three touchdowns, and you have a guy I would never bet against, Josh Allen. And I've seen the Texans kill him the last two seasons. And I told him on the show here this week, the last team the Texans should want to play in the playoffs is Josh Allen in Buffalo. And so I thought it was, of all the big victories yesterday, I thought it was tremendous for the Bills. And it won't surprise me if they don't win out and win the division.
Oh, I'm 100% with you right there. Those that win, that you could look and say, look what we pulled together. We knocked off the best team and got it done. Amazing. Monday night game tonight, John, Pittsburgh and the Dolphins. I love the fact that I read the Dolphins arrived in Pittsburgh on Friday, immediately went to a high school and practiced in the snow. And I think when you got to do that, you're telling everybody the cold really affects us. I think this could be a banner night for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But then again, I'm usually wrong.
Well, Joe, I don't think anything can be a banner night for the Steelers. They're just not very good. But they should be able to win the game, even without T.J. Watt. So we're talking about Loa has never won when his kickoff temperature was less than 40. And I'm guessing that Mike McDaniel's tried everything else. I saw the videos of them practicing, and it was snowing like crazy.
Right.
It looked like a high school stadium or a small college, and the players were having fun with it. And I am of the belief, after watching what the Oilers used to do when Bum Phillips was the coach, he would always go up early, and he, especially if it was in Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Pittsburgh, and the weather was bad, and they would practice at the stadium the day before on Saturday. It was more than a walkthrough, just to get used to it. And I remember one time we were in Cleveland, weather was terrible, and the Oilers won, and Billy White Shoes Johnson had a couple of touchdowns on returns. And they asked him, they said, Bum, why did Shoes have such a great game compared to everything else? And he said, he's the only one that wore pantyhose. We're like, what? He wore pantyhose, so we just left Bum and all the ass over to get White Shoes Johnson. And he said because he kept his legs warm. Well, then the next week, everybody's wearing pantyhose around the league when it's cold. And I don't know that it all worked out, but a lot of those guys' legs were a lot better looking.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great story. Real quick, John, I watched that Rams game yesterday. I'm telling you, they're having fun. Stafford is throwing balls on a dime. That defense is hawking everybody. That's a real – and McVay had to leave the game because his wife was giving birth last night. I mean, that it's just a fun environment with that Rams team. It's even better when you're pretty damn good.
I think right now, just right now, I could change Rams and Bills in the Super Bowl or Rams and the Broncos. Denver's defense is great. Bo Nix is great in the fourth quarter. Yesterday was great for the whole game. They're going to beat the Jaguars, should beat them this weekend. And I thought Seattle barely beat Philip Rivers and destroyed a storybook story. But they play Thursday night. Rams go to Seattle. That's going to tell us maybe best team in the NFC and maybe possible Super Bowl winner.
John McClain joining us here on the program. John, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you for Christmas week next week.
Chase and Joe, thank you guys very much as always. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you guys and all your listeners.
Absolutely, you as well. John McClain joining us. We'll come back with more here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.